Going back to the text that was read to you earlier in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it reads to us, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So today I'll be talking about today and probably the next 8 or 9 weeks throughout the summer, I'll be doing a sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. And today I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love. Some years ago, many of you may remember that Tina Turner made a hit song entitled, What's Love Got to Do With? Y'all remember that song, do you not? And a portion of the lyrics in this particular song says this, What's love got to do with? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? And it looks like if you remember those words that were just said a few seconds ago, and if you look at what's going on in the world today, there are two things that I think will become evident to you. Love, number one, is a secondhand emotion. It's not the first thing that we have on our minds. It's not the first thing that we are thinking about when we're dealing with ones that we profess that we love or ones that we deal with. And we also see, as love can break a heart, there are so many hearts that are being broken today within the world. As we see everything that is happening with this administration which we're living into, as we see what's going on here within the state, and even as we see what's going on in our communities, which it seems like the fabric of everything that had been established beforehand is broken down. Love is a secondhand emotion. And there's a whole lot of hearts out there that are being broken. But yet, as we walk out there within the world for today, there is a fruit that tastes good. There is a fruit that is everlasting. There is a fruit, and that fruit that we understand today is one of love. We find out here in this particular text that Paul is speaking to those churches in Galatia, which is about Asia Minor back in those days, back in up near Turkey and Greece and other places. But we find out here that these churches had false prophets. Those who were Jewish Christians who were coming to let them know that you need to be circumcised, that you need to follow some of the rituals of our faith. But Paul is letting them know that you don't have to go back and do this, but you already have been freed by the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For those who are coming back telling you that you need to do this, you need to strip off the old and get with the new. So we find out here, as Paul was talking to these people seemingly were confused. They seemingly had people in their midst telling them that you need to go back to something that you already have been freed from in order for you to go forth. But Paul is letting them know that you formerly were Gentile. And you don't have to go back and do that no more, but yet Christ has made you into a new creation. And since you're in a new creation, you can't go back and do what you used to do. You see, because we find out here that maybe not enough love was being exemplified here. We go back and find out that maybe there was some dissension in churches. We go back and find out that some of these people wanted to go back living the way they used to before church. They were having some problems. They were having some issues. But Paul lets them know that we ought to live by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then he lets them know that the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, how is it that today we can exemplify love in the world when no one is showing love? Because let's face it, although we come to church every Sunday and we say that we love God and love people, you know some people you can't stand. And sadly, it doesn't happen here at Davie Street, but in other churches that I know of, some of these people that we say to God that we love them, but we really don't, are the ones that sits next to us in the pews every Sunday. How is it, brothers and sisters, that we can exemplify love in a situation in which we find ourselves today. But it's going back to the example of God within our lives, because we know that God is love. God is love. And we love God because God loved us first. See, God was the one that made the initiative to love us. For yet we find out even from Genesis, God was the one that created the world for us. God was the one that chose a people and made a covenant with them that I will always be with you. God loved us because even when we have done wrong, even when Cain had killed Abel, even when Moses was in the ark because the world was going to be destroyed because of a flood, even when the Israelites were hard-headed, taking them 40 years just to go a few miles, even when we find out that people had been warned by God all throughout the prophets, saying if you don't turn around, that you're going to go in exile. And even they went in exile, God was gracious enough through God's love to bring them back to where they were. Even in the New Testament, when people would spit upon Jesus, talk about the prophets, jail Paul, even when all these things have happened, God's love has never left us. Can you think about how loving God is? Let's face it, we don't have that love. Look, we can't be God. If it was up to us, some of these people would be gone a long time ago for what they have done. But thank God we serve a loving and gracious God. And see, God loves us because God created us. See, God would not have created us if God did not love us. See, God knew you even before you came out of the womb. See, God wanted the world to be populated. God wanted all the animals to be made, the fish in the sea and the birds of the air. God created all of us out of love. And we are created for love. Let me say, we are created for love. And that's especially important these days, as we see what's going on in the world, because it seems like no matter what we do, it seems like people are created for hate. We see all the time that it's simple to love somebody. Well, no, it's simple to hate somebody, but it's hard to love somebody. Now, I'm not saying that you need to get with everybody that you see out there. I'm not talking about what we call the eros love. I'm talking about the agape love. The love for humanity, the love for humankind that is out there. I mean, the eros love, you know, love for somebody else comes in a little bit later on. But God created us to love people for who they are. God created us today, brothers and sisters, to know that as we follow God, that we are called to love somebody else. How can you say you love God, but hate your fellow brother or sister? How can you say that you love God when you can't forgive the loved one or the person you go to church with? How can you say that you love God, but you can't stand somebody who doesn't look like you or talk like you? How can you say you love God when we pass by every day the poor and the needy and the distraught? How can we say that we love God, but we don't do what God tells us to do? That was back in the day. That was a cause for a whipping. Your mama tell you need to do something, you don't do it, you got whipped, did you not? There's a whole lot of people that need to be whipped. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to keep moving on with the sermon here today. We today are created because God loves you. There's no other way that you got here. You have been created in love. And if you have been created in love, remember that God wants you to share that love with others. See, God tells us all throughout, and even the greatest commandment, or the first commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's easy in church and other places to say that I love you. But we really don't love other people. We really don't. We have a hard time loving somebody. Or what we do is we say we love them until they do something that makes us upset. And then we question whether this is the person that we need to be with the whole time. We are incapable of loving somebody. We see it all the time. Maybe early this week, did you hear about the young man that was killed in the Bronx last week? Lisandro Jr. Guzman Feliz, hacked to death by gang members in the Bronx. And it was a case of mistaken identity. And they arrested 7 people, gang members. And if you had a chance, look at it, it was videotaped. Beating the young man who had done so well, a 15-year-old, just going about his business. Or maybe we have a hard time loving each other because of the fear that's going around our country now for others who don't look like us, because love does not allow our government to separate children from their families. Or maybe we don't love each other because love is not an example of someone going into a newsroom in Annapolis, Maryland, and killing 5 people. Love is not people going into our schools and our children having a hard time learning the subjects because they're afraid that someone is going to shoot them. Love is not passing our brothers and sisters out there on the street when we know they need help. You see, it comes down to the fact that you can't love others if you don't love yourself. And there's a whole lot of people out there that don't love themselves. There's a whole lot of people out there who did not have a loving home. There's a lot of people out there who had a loving home but got caught up in different things that causes them to leave that love behind. And some people are just mean. Let's just face it, y'all. Some people are just mean. People will say all the time, you know, everybody should. Everybody will. No, everybody don't. Everybody does not want the same thing for a way or another. But you know what? Even if others don't show love, doesn't mean that we stop. That's right. Because if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, there's a whole lot of people that didn't love Jesus. But Jesus never stopped loving them. Now, Jesus got mad at them, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying be a pushover, but what I am saying, though, is that if we are Christians in the world today, we are still called to love even when we've been hurt. We're still called to love even with those who are different from us. We're still called to love even when you feel tired of loving. We're still called to love even when you have that relative or friend who comes to you all the time for money and said they're going to pay you back and they owe you thousands of dollars and you're still loving them. Brothers and sisters, love is not easy. See, it falls off our tongues, and we have it within our minds, and every Valentine's Day, they sell all the cards. That sappy type of love. But if you're loving somebody, it's hard. Love is difficult. Love is sticking in there when you don't want to stick in there. Love is the example of hanging in there with someone when you have no money. I was talking to a young man the other day. I work out at the Hillsborough Y on Hillsborough Street, Alexander Y, and I was talking to a young man. If you've ever been inside of the Y, they had that Benelux Cafe over there on the side as you go in and out of the Y downtown. And so I just happened this past week to finish working out, and I went over, and I always get a smoothie. I get a smoothie with protein in it, you know, because I'm working out hard. You need to replenish your muscles. And so I went over there to order a smoothie from him. And so he just started talking to me. He wasn't a young man. He seemed like he was an older man, but he's behind there. And he just started talking to me and telling me about his story. He used to work for IBM, and it seems like he got laid off. And he had shared with me that he saw that I had a marriage ring on. And he asked me, was I married? I said, yes, I have a wonderful wife. We'll be married 19 years this coming September. And I have a beautiful son. And he had mentioned that he was divorced. And I said, well, what happened? And he said that he and his wife had come here from up north, and he had been transferred down here by IBM, and him and his wife, he said they made good money. They lived the high life. And never had any children, but he had said what happened was he got laid off. And then when he got laid off, his wife left him. I said, wow. He said, yeah. He said, you never know about people until times get hard. Love looks good on the outside. But how many people are going to love you and stick with you when things get tough? How many people are going to love you when everything happens? How many people are going to stick it out with you? And when they've made those vows between you and God and the preacher, but something happened, things go awry. Brothers and sisters, how can we love our neighbor? And the toughest thing I always tell people is to love somebody. And I always let them know, even during the course of officiating a marriage, remember that your mama didn't raise him and her mama didn't raise you. See, when you get down to the brass tacks and everything, you're going to find out what love is. You're going to find out what commitment is. You're going to find out what angst is. Brothers and sisters, how can you love your neighbor? And it's going back about loving Jesus Christ first. It's about that unconditional love that Jesus and God has given unto us. See, love is not just a Missouri type thing, show me. Or it's not just a part-time thing. Loving somebody is full-time. And not all the time you're going to want to love them. And I'm sure sometimes I think, how can God continue to be loving to us for everything that we have done to God? But it's all about God's grace and mercy, which always permeates our lives and is always present in our lives, and something that never leaves us. But yet the fruit of the Spirit is called love today, because love overcomes all things. All we have to do is look back in our lives and see what has happened to us. And it's nothing but love that God has rescued some of us out, that God has healed some of us today. And the thing about it is, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of the love of God within our lives. It is only through God's mercy and God's grace and God's forgiveness that we are here today. See, that's love. And see, also we understand that as we know that love can overcome all things, this same love should set the tone for our lives. One of the things that Paul was trying to tell the Galatian people is that love should set the tone of your life. We get up in the morning with the job, or the mate, or the family, or the worries, or the sickness in our lives. Maybe we ought to get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for waking me up just one more day. And it's through your love and mercy that I'm able to live. And no matter what happens to me today, through the mate that upsets me, through the dog that bites me, through the money that I don't have in my wallet, through the food that I don't know is going to come on the table tonight, through the sickness that is afflicting my body, through the people who get on my last nerves at the job, through the traffic I have to go through the money I don't have for gas, don't know what I'm going to do and how I'm going to make it home. It is the love of God that pushes us all the way through. And no matter what happens to us, no matter what the emotions we go through, or no matter what the circumstances we face, let love set the tone for your life. Because there's too many people out there spreading hate. There's too many people out there spreading false news. There's too many people out there wanting to put a knife in your back and smile in your face. But that is when love comes out. That is when we're supposed to love more than we've ever loved before. Because we are remembering not what has been done for us, but remember who the one is who is called love. It is where we are in life that allows us to understand that we can still exhibit love within our lives. My wife was telling me about a story that she had seen on TV yesterday. There is on the UP channel. Anybody see the Up channel? If you watch the Up channel, there's a show on the Up channel called One Born Every Minute. And what they do, they profile couples who are pregnant and having children. And she was telling me about the show that she saw yesterday. And there were two college sweethearts, African-American couple, young. And they had lost three kids already. Three miscarriages. And the last pregnancy was an ectopic pregnancy. And so finally, they had the opportunity to become pregnant, but they were told during this pregnancy that the child had been diagnosed with Down's syndrome. And so they didn't know how severe this Down syndrome was going to be. Could the child walk? Could he talk? Could he eat? Whatever the case may be. And so the wife had started questioning God. Why is this happening to me? All this time we have tried to have a child, and yet we couldn't have it. And when we do have one, there is an issue with the child. But she said, she told her grandmother, and her grandmother said, who are you to question what's going on? Do you think you're above anybody else? And the grandmama had encouraged this young black couple that God was still going to be with them in this child. And see, the woman had listened to the grandmother all of her life. And she said, when her grandmother told her this, her and her husband said, you know what? It doesn't matter what this child is or what this child looks like or what it's going to go through. We're going to love this child more than anything else. Brothers and sisters, aren't we sometimes like the couple? Aren't we sometimes wondering what's going to happen to us? Why should we be put in this situation thinking maybe that we are not perfect and thinking that something's going to happen to us? But you know what? God still loves us, no matter who we are. God still walks with us. God still loves you. You see, some people in here, maybe some of you outside of here, need to know that God loves you. You're trying to make it every day. You don't have no money. People at home getting on your nerves. Your job you don't like. And you know, you're just trying to make it in life. And no one smiles at you. No one thanks you. No one appreciates you. But you know what? Don't worry about humankind. All you called to do is worry about what God has done in your life. Because if you can remember the love of Christ that has been given to us through the Holy One God who gave his Son, who loved the world so much that he gave us his only Son, if you're able to understand that love and the follow in that example, and no matter what happens to you within your life, God's love will still shine through you. And you know what? People out there are looking for love. I'm not talking about the match and all these dating sites. People are looking for the love of God. And so when something happens, why not you? Not the preacher, not the deacon, not the elder. Why not you? You need to show the love. You know the story of what God has done for you in your life. Share that love with somebody else. It won't be perfect, it won't be easy, and it will be difficult. But it is the love of God that keeps us going. This stand forevermore. Amen. Amen. Our invitational hymn this morning is number 354, God My Feet. And now the doors of the church are open.